Hi, this is William Shun. In 2006 and 2007, over the course of about 30 episodes of my Shuncast, I read my unpublished memoir, The Accidental Terrorist, the story of how I, as a naive young Mormon missionary, came to be arrested for terrorism and permanently banned from Canada. The response was enthusiastic and overwhelming. Each chapter was downloaded thousands of times, and the memoir continues to be a great draw at my website. If you've listened before, I thank you for your support. Now I'm serializing the book again from the beginning. Why? As popular as those episodes were, the sometimes lengthy bracketing chatter about other aspects of my life and work made it impossible for listeners after the fact to sit back with every chapter and listen to the book straight through from start to finish. This new podcast will change that. Starting April 7th and continuing throughout 2009, I'll post a new chapter from The Accidental Terrorist every Tuesday morning. Most of these will be excerpted from the original Shuncast episodes, but a handful in which I've made significant revisions since the first podcasts will be newly re-recorded. Most Friday mornings, I'll post a short Setting the Record Straight installment, also excerpted from the original episodes, in which I'll talk about what elements of Tuesday's chapter may have been slightly exaggerated in the writing of the book, and which hew close to reality. By the end of the year, you'll be able to listen to The Accidental Terrorist straight through without any editorial interruptions from me. But don't worry, if you like the longer, more chatty episodes, I'll continue doing that in my occasional Shuncast episodes, along with readings of new short stories and other materials. So thanks for joining me this year on this new old adventure. I hope you like what you hear and that you keep coming back. And now let me present, without commercial interruption, The Accidental Terrorist. Explanatory note. This book is not a work of fiction. It is a memoir, a chronicle of specific events in my life as I remember them. They may not have transpired exactly the way I describe, but apart from changing the chronology of a few minor incidents for narrative purposes, I've tried to reconstruct them as accurately as possible. I've been aided in some cases by newspaper articles, but for the most part my own memory has served as my most important resource. Many of the Mormon participants in these events behaved in ways that, while innocuous enough to outsiders, might cause them considerable embarrassment within their own religious communities today. I've tried to conceal their identities as best I can, without distorting the facts of the story. The only characters who appear under their own names are the members of my immediate family, some classmates from Clarion 85, a writer's workshop at Michigan State University, and a couple of high-ranking officials of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who will be familiar to Mormons of long standing. Names occurring in historical background materials are likewise presented unchanged. Dialogue, of course, has not been rendered verbatim, and is intended only as a representative amalgam of actual conversations. The Accidental Terrorist, a memoir by William Shun. Prologue. A disciple of the prophet Joseph Smith. It's the 23rd of February, 1987, a Monday, about 8:30 in the evening. I'm thinking of the prophet Joseph Smith and trying not to cry when the door to my cell swings open. It's the lady detective.
Elder Shun, she says, I'd like to ask you some questions now if you have a few minutes. I'm not going anywhere, I say, brushing roughly at my stinging eyes with the back of my hand. She drags a plastic chair in from the hallway, a plastic chair like mine, into this tiny room that's more like the soundproof booth on a game show than a jail cell. It's actually not a cell, but a consultation room for suspects and their lawyers, but with no knob on the inside of the door, it's all the same. She seals us in and sits down, crosses her legs and smooths her skirt, what perilously little there is of it. She's blonde, maybe twice my age, and from the way she's dressed, she must have been working undercover on some street corner when she and her partner got the call to pick me up. I try not to stare, but the cell is like a closet, so small our knees nearly touch. Except for that officer at the border, I haven't been alone so close to a woman in months. And I must confess, this one's legs are splendid. It's hard not to look, hard not to hunt with my eyes for comfort, for relief from my terror. She arranges a steno pad on the top of her bare thigh, pencil sharpened and poised. She doesn't seem concerned that I might try to grab the pencil and stab her with it. If she's carrying a gun, I can't spot it, but I don't stop trying. Relaxed and all business, she says, "Your name, please?" "You just called me by my name." "For the record." Her green eyes, flat and frank, never blink. "Full name." I sniffle a little, try to cover it with a cough, straightening up in my chair. Unconsciously, I touch the spot on my sweater where the black name tag should have been. "Donald William Shun II." "How old are you?" 19. "Citizenship?" "American." In the present circumstance, the word tastes somehow dirty. "And you've been in the country how long?" 5 months, give or take. "Any previous record?" "No." She takes sharp, efficient notes in shorthand, a skill I didn't know anyone still had. This mundane detail causes a tide of grief to rise inside me. Grief for myself, for my ruined future. Joseph Smith, I tell myself. Think of Joseph Smith. How would he have dealt with this situation? I almost laugh. With a female jailer, he probably would have sweet-talked his way right out the door and convinced her to become his 34th plural wife in the bargain. "Okay, Elder," she says, crossing her legs the other way, much to my fascination. "Let's talk about your activities today." She's the woman boys like me fantasize about, the authority figure, jaded and direct, carelessly sexy, powerful, the kind you want for your private tutor, your initiation into the club, your Mrs. Robinson. A confusing dislocation dizzies my head. "But I did this already," I say. "I told the constable at the airport." She shrugs. "Now you're going to tell me, and you're probably going to tell someone else after that. That's how these things go." "I want to talk to my mission president," I say, wrapping my arms around my chest. "So do we, Elder," her eyes narrowed. "If it smacks of terrorism, it makes us very concerned." "Terrorism?" The word hits me like the ground rushing up, too big to take in, too big to get around. It leaves me breathless. "What?" "Terrorism? Conspiracy?" "Conspiracy? I didn't conspire about anything." She taps her pencil on the steno pad. "Religious fanatics, all these telephone calls. Think what it must look like from our point of view, the questions we have to ask." If I could climb the wall and huddle in a corner of the ceiling, I would. Stunned, I think, "I'm going to prison." I think, "I'm going to prison, and I'm going to die there." "I'm not a terrorist," I say, but the words grate like thorny lies in my throat. "I already explained what happened." "Explain it to me," says the lady detective. "Help me out here. We can't get any of your people on the phone. All we have is you. All you have is you. Convince me you're not a bad guy." I close my eyes, trying to work my frozen lungs. Joseph Smith was in a lot of worse scrapes than this, I tell myself. However bad it gets, it won't get worse than that. How many times was he beaten? How many times was he tarred and feathered? How many nights did he spend cold and hungry, afraid and alone, in damp, rat-infested cells nowhere near as comfortable as this one? What did God tell him in Liberty Jail when his prospects couldn't have been more bleak? "If the very jaws of hell shall gape open the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience, and shall be for thy good." "Be strong," I tell myself. "Be tough. Be Joseph Smith." "Now, Elder Shun," says the lady detective, "tell me, what brought two young Mormon missionaries out to the airport this afternoon?" A tear spills down my cheek, electric and cold. "Home," I say. A whisper, an answer, a prayer. I try not to think about what happened to the prophet in the end.
The Accidental Terrorist. Spoken material, copyright 2006-2009 by William Shun. All rights reserved. For more readings by William Shun, please visit shun.net/podcast or search for William Shun, S-H-U-N-N, in the podcast directory of the iTunes Music Store. This recording has been a production of Sinister Regard.